Oh, Jim. Well, I got to tell you, it's great to be back.
Well, Kim, it's good to have you back. You had a good long break.
I did. You know, my wife, Kathy, took a tumble here, about 5-6 weeks ago, and she really mashed up her shoulder. So she's been laid up at home. She had surgery. She had her whole shoulder replaced. So it's we've been getting to know each other really well the last 5 or 6 weeks, but it's coming around, and she's doing better, and I'm back.
Well, just so you know, we've had a good number of people either ask or wonder, is he on a beach somewhere? Is he on a walkabout through the Midwestern states? Where is Kim? But we needed to wait while your wife got over all this. Congratulations to both of you for being old but still being tough.
Yeah, she's doing okay. She's sitting downstairs right now and doing better, feeling better, and eating better. So it looks like it's on the way up.
All right.
So, hi, I'm Kim Flottam.
And I'm Jim Tew.
And we're here together today on Honeybee Obscura. And you know what we're going to talk about? Jim's got to find a bee yard.
I do.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tew explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
And I have been doing this for decades, and it doesn't get any easier, Kim. Where do you find the new bee yard? There's no advertising. There's no indexes in the back of a bee magazine. You just go find one. It's like looking for Easter eggs anywhere, any time of the year.
I've never had to look for one. I've always had a big enough yard, so it's never something that's crossed my got-to-deal-with-issues deck. So
I want you, just stop it. I want you to stop. Stop. I had a big enough yard. And what happened? They're going to put a housing subdivision, literally 20 feet, 30 feet from my bee yard that I have had there for 40 years. So I'm fencing, I'm doing whatever, but I think the days of my 20, 30 colonies there are probably gone. So I had a yard too, and now I've got to do something else.
You know, that begs a question, and I know it isn't going to work, but it begs a question. You were there first. And if they want to move in, they go, well, okay, I want to buy that house, but I'm right next to a guy who's got bees. I guess I have to put up with it. But that isn't going to work, is it?
I had no earthly idea I was going to tell you this, but here's a story. When I first came to Ohio and took the job at Ohio State, there was the grand old master of beekeeping here, and north of Worcester, he had a bee yard. Had it there for years. The Ford dealership bought the land across the road and put in a spectacular new car dealership. It took them about 2 to 3 years to figure out what all the yellow spots were on their new cars. And they basically told that old man that, yes, he was there first. And, yes, they were grandfathered in. But they basically implied they had a lot more money than he did. And this was not going to end well. Or he could just move them. And life would be easier for everyone. And the old man moved the yard that he had had before he got into litigious situations with a massive car dealership there. So, yeah, you can be right, but you're still going to lose.
Yeah. So, where do you find a bee yard? I mean, you're just driving around the country looking for an empty spot?
Yes. That's certainly one way. You know what I look for in Ohio? I look for gas wells on farm property, because those things are always kind of a scar on the land, no offense to the gas well people, but they have a path that goes right to them. And the men that go back there, the people who go back there, I'm sure it's men and women, they're tough. You know, they're outdoors. They're four-wheel drive kind of people. They're not really bummed out by a beehive sitting over there. I've had reasonably good luck just looking for access to oil wells, gas wells, and then asking the landowner if I can put bees back there, you know, not right up next to the well, but in the same general vicinity. There is that.
Well, that's a good Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. If you got oil wells in the neighborhood, I guess I probably have something. I've never looked at oil wells from that perspective. But you know, you got the other things you have to worry about is getting off the road and into the field. You know, you've got ditches and you've got fences and you've got all these things you got to, you know, get through to get to where your hives are going to sit.
Gates, Kim.
Yeah. Gates.
I have learned to hate gates. They're always locked. Do you have the key? Anybody got a key to this gate? I mean, you've driven for, you know, 40 minutes to get there to find out that the guy's put cows on that pasture and now he's locked that gate. And then you got to go back, find this guy, find a key, and then by then your day's shot. And then there's a whole concept that's hard to describe, but if the truck and trailer's too long, you can't make the turn off the lane into the gate. I've got enough. I'm stopping here on this because I've had some real issues with gates to my bee yard.
Well, the other thing you just brought up, well, actually a whole bunch of things, but the other thing you just brought up was cows. If there weren't cows, when you put your bees there and then the farmer turns cows into, cows do love scratching those unreachable spots on the edge of your beehive.
Yep.
And a 4,000-pound cow scratching on a beehive tends to be less favorable to the beehive.
Well, I don't know how much the listeners know about me, but I'm just full of it. There's always a story about something. And here's this one. The farmer came roaring up as I was there kind of near his herd of cows saying, "You got to get out of there right now." And I had heard this rumbling sound. He said, "You're really getting that bull upset." And for the first time, you said 4,000 pounds. I saw that 4,000-pound animal. And you know how those guys claw the front ground, the ground with their front hooves and throw mud in the air? His head was low. He said, "I want you to come on out right now. Get back in your truck and come on out." Well, I got bees over there. Well, we'll find another way to those, but you got to come out of there right now. And I got out of there, and we had to find a different path, and I had to climb a fence to do it. Inconvenient. But I guess the thing is, Kim, things change. When you set the yard up, it doesn't mean that it stays that way endlessly. Things change.
Here's a complicated question. You've mentioned gates. So you get in, you got a key to the gate, you get in, you leave the gate open by mistake or just because, and cows get out. And cows get out in the road, somebody hits a cow. Where's the liability?
Oh, I don't want to talk about liability. I asked a commercial landowner here in Worcester. He's got unimproved industrial property. And I got word to him I'd like to put bees on that property until a factory or something built there. Kim, I'm not exaggerating. Out of all the questions he could have asked, question number one was, what's my legal exposure? And there were other questions, but they were so far down the list to be as to be inconsequential. And I couldn't tell him his legal exposure. So he and I both decided that we were both uncomfortable doing that, and that idea didn't develop.
Well, there's all sorts of things that go with that legal exposure item, because what if your hives get stolen? On
right.
Somebody else's property.
Right.
Where's the liability? Who owes who what?
What if the landowner dies?
There you go.
I mean, what happens then? Can you go on the property and until the estate is settled? Can you go take your bees off the property?
I've heard of pollination contracts where that wasn't possible. They sat there.
We're not helping the listeners here, are we? We're just describing all the reasons why.
I got one more for you. You're at... You're at church, and a good friend comes up and he says, "You know, my restaurant wants to have its own beehive up on the roof so that I can serve my honey to my customers. How would you like to put a couple of beehives up on my roof over in wherever that town is 20 miles away?"
So that issue is, what do you do with bee yards you don't want?
Yeah.
How do you say no to people at church, friends, whatever, that you don't want to put two hives on the roof? Huh? But no, thank you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a good friend. And,
yeah.
And you know, you're doing him a favor and he's going to pay you to put him up there or something. But 20 miles one way, I don't know.
You know, finding a bee yard sometimes is just good luck. It's just luck. I was sitting in my dermatologist's office with that guy going over me with a bright light, saying, yes, yes, you're definitely prone to skin cancer. Then he mentioned his farm, that he has a 20-acre farm just outside of Worcester, Ohio, here where I am. And he said, we're just letting it go wild. We like the wildlife. We like the deer and the squirrel and the turkeys. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that guy'd like bees there too. Now, I didn't ask him. I can't say that I did follow up on that. But you sit there wondering, should I say something to that guy about putting bees there and exploring that?
Well, I know one thing. A friend of mine here in Medina went looking for a bee yard. His operation outgrew his backyard. And what he did is he went talking to farmers who already had somebody's bees on their land. And, you know, you put them on a 20-acre thing way over there, and he's got another 20-acre thing way over the other way, and you got room for, you know, if you're far enough apart, you can put a couple of bee yards on a farm.
Yep.
So, you know, starting with somebody who already kind of has a feel what they're getting into may be a good way to think about it.
Kim, let's take a break and hear from our sponsor.
What makes Betterbee different as a beekeeping supplier is their focus on bringing new, innovative products to the market, such as the Colorado BeeVac. The Colorado BeeVac is the world's leading bee vacuum, trusted to quickly and safely capture bees during cutouts or swarms and easily transfer them to a hive. The Colorado BeeVac was carefully crafted and tested to relocate bees while drastically minimizing any losses. Visit betterbee.com/BeeVac to learn more and get yours today.
So finding a bee yard, you know, having to because somebody's moving in is going to make you, having to because you got more bees than you can put in your backyard, wanting to because you want to expand your operation, wanting to because you want to put your bees near some kind of honey source that you don't have in your backyard. There's a lot of reasons to look at bee yards, but there's a lot of things to look at for getting a bee yard.
Yep. There's good yards and there's bad yards. There's long-term yards. There's short-term yards. A bee yard, an apiary, is sometimes for the moment, sometimes for the decade. But, Kim, what's the number one attribute you'd look for in a location? Number one.
Ease of access.
That would be my number one. I have to be able to get to the bees when I need to get to them. And it shouldn't require a tracked vehicle, some kind of four-wheel drive. I should be able to get to them routinely.
Yep.
Number one.
Yep. So that's where you start. Then you need to start checking off the other things you got to worry about. But a friend in Wisconsin years and years ago had 12, 14 bee yards. And I'd ask him, I said, where do you find these? And he said, well, you know, I know people and they know people. And I said, well, how do you know if it's going to be a good bee yard? And he says, well, I kind of know what's growing around. I've done some scouting. So that's part of the deal is take a look this year. So then when you move your bees next year, you know what's going to be there. What you can expect is it got lots of spring flowers, summer flowers, fall flowers, some of each. So if you're going to be doing this, if you have the opportunity, start this summer for next summer.
I would go along with that. Always have a new bee yard in your shirt pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
As you and I are talking, there's just story and story and story and story through the years. I had a great bee yard near me here for years. I took the bees off. In the 5 years that I was gone, the landowner retired, gave the farm to somebody else to farm, and I asked to put bees back there, and they politely said no. So sometimes you had a yard you always had. You were a good neighbor. You gave honey away, and things change. People change.
Well, you mentioned two things, and one of them is, how do you know if it's a good bee yard? How long do you give a piece of land to prove itself to you and your bees? You know, is it the first season, you don't make 50 pounds a colony, you're out of there? Or do you give it three seasons and average 50 pounds a colony? I'm not sure what the metrics are here, but think of that, too, for next year.
Yep.
So you know, how long do you give a bee yard? And is it 1 year, one season, three seasons, five seasons? Think of that this year when you're looking for next year.
Yep. You are exactly right, and I completely agree. but you're talking about a certain kind of beekeeper, a honey-producing beekeeper. What if you're a gem too, and you're keeping bees for enjoyment, for photographic purposes, for equipment testing? But I'm not always looking at maximum honey production. I'm back to mine, your number one point. Can I get to my bees when I want to, for whatever purpose I want? So,
yep, and a key to the gate.
So I want the bees to get enough from in the area to survive. I'd like some honey, but I don't want to offend any people listening. I'm not really doing this for a major honey crop. I'm doing it for other bee reasons that are important to me. So if I had to do it for honey production, I'd say 3 years tops. If I haven't done something in 3 years and I'm doing it for honey production, 2 years would be not unheard of. 3 years, if I've done nothing except lose money, then I got to move on.
Yeah.
In Ohio, where are you going to move to? That's not more corn, wheat, and soybeans. So it's not always easy to find something here in this area. But in other areas, I think you could move to a better producing area.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we've answered any questions here, have we?
Well, number one, I'd like to have ease of access. Number two, I'd like to have gates that I can get through and a relationship with the landowner that's comfortable. Number three, I'd like for them to have, I'd like for the bees to have food reserves available to them. And I don't want them to be exposed constantly to some kind of pesticide application that's going on. And number four or five, whatever it is, do they have water? Here in Ohio, that's not much of a problem. In some parts of the West, is there water available to them at this yard? So those are the kind of things I'm looking for in a bee yard. Can you add anything to my list?
Well, I guess not. I don't think so. You mentioned the good relations with the landowner, and it comes to the point where, do I need to write this down so everybody knows exactly what's going on? And if it gets that finicky, I'm thinking maybe I need to find someplace better.
Yep. On the last note, how much honey do you give the landowner? Is a quart enough? 5 gallons? How much is enough if you're giving honey as payment?
Good question. That's a really good question. At your next bee meeting, go ask somebody what they're giving the landowner and see if there's an average amount that landowners expect in your part of the world.
I have no earthly idea. I usually give a quart, 2 quarts. I give what people commonly eat. I don't see any reason to give them 5 gallons, and then they've got to bottle it and do something with it to give it away. So anything beyond a couple of quarts probably should turn into money.
Yeah.
And from that point on, you need to pay if they want some kind
of remuneration.
Good place
to start. Well, have we finished this?
No. We're not, but we're going to stop.
Okay.
There's a serious difference.
All right.
I'm glad you're back, Kim. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad your wife is healing okay.
Yeah, she is, and I'm glad to be back, and I will talk to you next time.
I'll be here next time. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you get a chance, leave us a comment. We'll try to talk to you about it. Bye-bye, Kim.
Bye, Jim.